Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
The podcast.
This is my latest creation, Widmer. How do you like it?
Oh, it's just gorgeous.
It is genuine spotted leopard. Shall I have Zsa Zsa model it for you?
Yes. Do you mind, Zsa Zsa?
Not at all, madam. It will only take me a minute to change and I will be right out.
It is October 1989. Claudia Schiffer and Michaela Berku are dominating the newsstands, between them covering Elle, British Vogue, Glamour, and Cosmopolitan. Fashion forecasters say pants are going to be everywhere this fall, so it's convenient that Saks Fifth Avenue has just started offering free alteration on women's clothes, a service they have long offered on men's apparel, so cross one item off the pink tax list. The Times reports on Manhattan's East Village as a shopping destination, so hurry up and get down there before everyone else picks the vintage stores clean. And the Homburg is back. I guess it's a hat. Ask your grandpa. But you don't care too much about all that because you're still stressing out about what you're going to wear for Halloween. Yes, Rhonda's friends are all going with sexy looks, but this is your first Halloween at a new school. How are you going to play it? You could make a big statement, then people will remember you after Halloween and into the holiday season, and when you walk down the halls at school, people will say, oh yeah, her, Rhonda brought her to Slevin's party and she dressed as sexy oversized jewelry as seen at Paris Fashion Week. But maybe, just for now, you want to make no statement because who even are you? Are you an artist? A softball player, kind of? A wild-eyed chaos queen banging out essays at a desk absolutely covered in research craft? A biker babe sitting on a Harley in equestrian boots for some reason? Oh my God, Slevin's party is in 2 hours and you still have not decided. You run to your closet and find the pony print jacket your dad brought back from his trip to Brazil and the bone clips your dad brought back from his trip to Afghanistan. Remember how he said those bone clips were really authentic and winked and you never really asked what that meant? Oh well, no time to get into that now. Grab your favorite magazine and see if they think bone plus animal print adds up to a look that's Flintstones but like... not too much. Yes, it's time to
listen to Sassy.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about those bones, but intrigued.
That may be something that needs to be repatriated at some point. It's hard to say. Welcome, our guest. Sitting in once again is Megan McCafferty. Hello, Megan.
Hello, happy to be back.
And joining us for the first time since her internet catastrophe, it's Kim Reed. Hi, Kim.
I'm so glad to be back on the internet. I missed you, internet.
And I think we should hear a quick version of what happened because it kind of feels like the setup to like a Final Destination death.
It does. Yes.
We're sitting at home on a Wednesday afternoon and heard this really loud noise that sounded like it came from our second floor. And so my husband went up and checked it out, couldn't find anything, nothing in the attic. We're like, what's going on? I said, maybe it was outside. So he and one of my kids went outside and he's like, oh yeah, there's a full on cable lying. So the pole is across the street and the wire that goes from across the street, the pole to our house had been snapped at both ends.
Whoa.
What we didn't know, but found out later, was that actually two cables got snapped. Our phone cable, which we don't use because we don't have a landline through the phone company, and our internet cable, which is also our cable, it's, you know, Spectrum. Both had been snapped. We're not sure how. The only thing we can think of is like a really tall truck. But I mean, we've lived in this house for 20 years.
Yeah.
And that's never happened before. So I don't know if the cables were just slowly like stretching and lowering or if a really tall truck went through. So anyway, then we called and Spectrum could not come to fix it for 4 days.
Unbelievable.
No.
4 days. And we're like it could be a live wire. My husband realized later he should have said the thing was lying in the street because
yes.
It was until he pulled it out of the street.
Right.
Yeah. We're like, it's a downed line, and they're like, yeah, we'll see you Sunday.
Jesus, there's a down line in the middle of the street, and there's just a whole bunch of dead animals and birds and stuff around it. If you want to come, that's your business. I would if I were you. But.
So no internet in my house from Wednesday until, which means no TV because we have YouTube TV.
Right.
As well as no streaming services. Yeah. Obviously no, you know, computer. Yeah. My phone uses Wi-Fi. I have a really low data plan because I'm usually home, so I just use the Wi-Fi.
Yep.
So I ran out of data very quickly, especially because I thought I could use my phone as a hotspot to watch TV and realized how quickly I ran through that data plan.
The Reed household is full of Internet of Things devices. So
Yeah.
It refused to make coffee. Her fancy fridge, the door wouldn't open. She was just basically just living in pioneer times. It was like pioneer house because of this truck that ran through the street.
I have a theory about what may have happened with this cable, because I happen to know that you live on the same street as a fire department. Was someone joyriding with the ladder up and they snagged it?
I would say yes, except usually when they're joyriding the fire department, they also like to make the siren go off, but not regular, just like whoop, 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 whoop. We hear that a lot.
The firemen raised the roof driving. Well, we're glad you're here, finally.
Seriously, that was my first concern when the internet was out. I was like, oh, the podcast.
You did text me so fast.
I think that should be the intro. That was my first one. The podcast. And that's a little show.
All right, let's talk about this issue. Let's start with the cover. Megan, you had thoughts.
I love this cover. I love it now. I loved it then. I used to frame my favorite sassy covers on my wall, and this was absolutely framed on my wall for a long time. The model is Philippa,
probably. Yeah.
She looks approachable. Her hair and her makeup are so natural, remarkably natural considering the era. I mean, I didn't have the parabolic claw bang like my Jersey Shore peers. So this look was really refreshing to me. And just the colors, the yellow of the background, the red of the sweater, the aqua of the font of Sassy, it just all pops. And exactly to me is a perfect cover line. It says so much and yet nothing at all.
This model, as you see on the cover, if you are not looking at it, I'll just paint you a picture, which is she is the girl at the county fair. She is working at one of the snack bars, and you keep on going back for some fries because you really like her.
Yes.
And by the time she sort of notices you, like you've broken out because you've like eaten like two cups of fat over the weekend and kind of just didn't work out. But she's that girl. You think maybe? But no, she's actually out of here.
So next up, we're going to talk about fashion feature number one, which is called Artist at Work. The photographer is Anthony Gordon, and the model is Bronwyn. What I wanted to say about it, the thing that stood out to me was the very first picture on page, there's a spread on pages 32 and 33, and the print was so 1989 to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember that print with the fish and like the squiggles. And I had a dress that was very similar to that print, but mine was more like a, I guess, like a pinafore style more. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It was like a tank top, but it was loose and like rayon, probably dropped waist, I'm guessing. This one is tight. It's bodycon, very short. I was like looking, I was like, boy, you could almost see everything about her. So I thought that was a choice. But so the print really, that first picture, the print really stood out to me because it brought back such memories of that time.
Mm-hmm.
There's something sinister going on in this first photo that leads the feature because, well, one, and obviously, this is the days before Photoshop digital retouching. She's got a nice big bruise on her leg.
Is it a bruise or a birthmark? I was wondering. Yeah, I was looking at that, too. You think so?
But the other thing that's even more disturbing is that I think maybe this model has diarrhea because they put newspapers all over the floor to catch any mess that she makes while she's lying on this chair.
It's performance art, Dave. Mm. Okay.
She also has, like, no butt, which, yeah, I mean, you know, she probably weighs all of, you know, 98 pounds. But I was thinking that looks really uncomfortable because she does not have a lot of cushion the way that she's sitting with the edge of the seat going right into her butt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, me, I'd be very comfortable. That's another story.
It just says one model and her face is completely different in every shot. Like in the one on page 34, she looks like Lizzie Kaplan to me. By the time this comes out, Fleischman Is in Trouble will have already dropped on FX on Hulu. And she plays the narrator of that, Lizzie Kaplan does. And she, there's a shot where she wears overalls like this. And this, she looks exactly like this girl. Like they could have used this as inspo and maybe did.
She does look like Lizzie Kaplan. You're right.
But then she looks totally different on the next page. And it's still her.
The one where she's painting her feet?
Where she's that painting one? Her feet, as we all love to do from time to time.
I didn't even notice that. What the hell?
She's an artist, Dave.
Mm.
It's all art. All of it. Well, for me, the picture on page 36, I mentioned this in the last episode that the summer of 89, I attended the Summer Arts Institute. And I had a friend who was in the visual arts program, and she would wipe off all her brushes on these V-neck Hanes t-shirts. And so it would create this overlapping, all these overlapping colors. And it was really cool. And she gave it to me and I wore it when I went back to school in September and felt very, very, very authentically artistic, even though I wasn't the artist, but my friend was. And then later I used that in one of my books. The artist character Hope creates these t-shirts and she sells them to like Brooklyn hipster posers as authentic artist t-shirts.
Excellent.
But that's what I thought of as soon as I saw that shirt. I was like, oh, that was like Kimber's shirts at SAI.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the final page, pair of legs.
Yeah. Nothing beats a great pair of legs.
Yeah.
As they say. Yeah.
If you want to do a fashion segment, you want to show that top, make sure that it is the thing that's least in focus.
Yes.
And you got tack sharp focus on the legs in the foreground. Like she's lying in bed or something, or maybe on a very plush couch sitting down, but her hair seems to indicate that she's lying down in bed. And the most fashion forward thing that we can see is the blanket.
Yeah.
The quilt. Yeah.
Yeah. So again, baffling storytelling photo choices in Sassy magazine spreads. Continues.
Not the feet painting. That was never cool.
That's just silly.
Yeah.
And miserable. Like, what do you do after this photo shoot? Like, obviously they're in a barn or something like that, so I guess they can make a mess. But just like having to like tiptoe through somebody's house after, or like get that one ratty dog towel, put it on the floor as you enter the threshold to the house, do the I can't get off the towel shuffle all the way to the bathroom. Make sure you're not dripping everywhere. Get into the bathroom, get into the tub, and then be able to clean your feet.
Yeah.
And who knows how hard this paint is. I mean, hopefully this is just like schoolhouse acrylics or something like that.
Well, you notice she's not showing her feet in page 37. It cuts her right off at the feet. All legs.
R.I.P. feet.
Fashion feature is called Hit the Road. It's all about boots. The photographer is Sylvia Plashy. And I don't think we mentioned it the last time she shot for the magazine. I believe she shot the girls' boarding school piece, like in 88. But she is Adrian Brody's mother. Fun fact.
Whee!
Is that
like
mini
nepo? It's little nepotism, not like major nepotism, right?
It's like Lena Dunham nepotism, where it's like...
That's exactly the level of nepotism it is.
The model is Alexandra, and it's a lot of boots that I would have been too scared not only to wear myself, but to talk to the girls who were wearing them. They look very cool and tough.
These are high confidence boots.
Yep. We got motorcycle harness boots. Still have never worn anything with a harness in my damn life. The next page is the Doc Martens that Megan was referring to earlier with the Union Jack toes. Way too cool for anyone to wear without looking like a complete poser. Then on page 52, cowboy boots with musical patches. You can barely see them. I guess this is like upside down on a stage, but they look bizarre and they are really out of focus.
Yeah.
So I think they're trying to conceal the fact that these are whack. Then next one is classic riding boots, as in horse riding boots, as in remember in the last issue when we went to the farm and we learned about Withers and Fetlocks, those kind of boots, they're back, but now they're on a motorcycle for no good reason.
also barely visible, never mind in focus.
This fashion feature in the last one, it reminds me of the classic line from The Real Housewives of Atlanta. How can you have a fashion show with no fashions? How can you have a fashion feature with no fashions? Like,
yeah,
you can't see anything.
Yes, this is great art photography. It is not as effective as fashion photography, in my opinion.
I know it's fashion and it's aspirational and all of that, but like, I couldn't have afforded anything in this spread.
God, no.
You know? Mm-mm. Like, the cheapest ones are the Moto boots, and they're $80 in 1989. So I did the math, because Pam's not here to be the wonder killer, so I had to do it. That comes out to, in today's dollars, $192 for a presumably teenage girl to buy a pair of boots.
Yeah.
Like, I got all my shoes at, like I said, Payless,
mm-hmm.
Kmart.
Yeah.
I mean, now I could, I guess, but nobody looks at me now, so who cares?
Well, that's why I spent like $19.99 at the Strawberry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and got the ripoff ones.
Those boots had holes in them real quick, real quick.
I will say my Doc Martens lasted forever. I think they do.
I don't know when I got rid of my Docs, and I'm so sad. Like, why did I do that?
Yeah.
Why?
Same.
Why did I get rid of them? So dumb.
I had the 8-hole boots, and then I also had sandals, and I wore those like every single day in the summer into the ground.
Well, once again, it's up to me to point out the obvious big thing that everybody missed, which is on page 53, the classic riding boots we were talking about, that you really can't see the classic riding boots.
Yes.
Is that the other motorcycle has the severed feet from the last feature wrapped up in cellophane. And bungee corded to the back.
Yeah.
It's the feet of America Girl from the last one. After they couldn't get the paint off, so they cut the feet off. Mm-hmm. And now this guy is going to sell them on the black foot market.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, you cracked it, Dave.
Welcome to Bedrock. And I'm just going to read the copy that went along with this feature. Ready for something totally Flintstones? Then take it mega with all the animal prints you can get your paws on. Add a few bones, a little bit of color, and you're rocking. Betty and Wilma never looked better. Okay, first of all, Wilma and Betty do not wear animal prints. Only Fred does. So this is a flawed concept from the jump. I hate everything about this. I hate the font. I hate the pun bolder, B-O-U-L-D-E-R, and brighter. The set design, and like, I'm like, what in the middle school production of Once Upon a Mattress paper mache bolder bullshit is this? I hate this.
It's got some Sear Studio vibes going on.
Oh. Here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the whole thing is a yabba dabba don't, yep. Ba-dum-bump for me. Philippa, I'm going to just mispronounce. My model, who I love from the cover, looked so miserable in these furry bam bam overalls. It's like, it's just shocking to me that it's the same girl from the cover. And then probably the most mystifying detail to me is the fact that the words models. Own bone clips.
Hair clips.
Like, did they tell her, look, bring your bones. Like, whatever your bones you got at home.
Maybe she just happened to be wearing them that day and they were like, oh, you read our minds. And it just was like kismet.
I don't even know what to say. Like, in the picture with the overalls, what even is happening? Like, it's like they were going for like the Pebbles Flintstone, like kind of ponytail on top of the head situation,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's just a mess, and you can't tell really that they're bones in that picture.
No, you can't.
The next picture, which is more of a Wilma hairstyle, I guess, you can tell that they're bones, but they just look like dog treats.
Yep.
Like, they don't look like if they'd said from Petco, like hair tools supplied by Petco, I would have been like, yeah, sure, that looks about right. There's those like Nyla bones. Sure, that's what those
exactly.
are.
Exactly. They look exactly like Nyla bones.
You, yeah. You nailed and it. Models own, you know, sometimes models own shoes, models own earrings, yeah. whatever. Mm-hmm. Models own bone hair clips.
When we do order of operations, we use brackets in order to contain things and deal with them first. And that's what that caption needed, because it is. Is it the model's own bone clips or is it the model's own bone clip?
Like they're clips made from her own bones?
Exactly.
I mean, I can't believe they chose this picture of her in the overalls to lead the feature, because she looks like she's trying to hide. Like, not just, she has her arms crossed over her stomach, so it's like, don't look at me. And then her feet, one foot on top of the other, like she's trying to just make herself smaller.
The overalls from the loft feature, you know, that had that sexy artist vibe.
Yeah.
This has... Yeah. I'm worried I might be pregnant. I'm going to hide in my house for the next 9 months, kind of dumpy give up vibe. Not sex, like zero sexy.
Or New York club kid vibe, where it's like, you have to just...
got a pacifier.
Yes, you dress them up. You get a, you know, you wear a spangly sequin top underneath. And like, that's why they're $75. Because all these like trust fund idiots are buying them.
I get more 90s like rave.
Yes.
But she has none of the accoutrement to signal that. Yeah, where's the backpack? Where's the pacifier? Where's the little light braids and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can tell you what my husband's critique of this would be, because it's the same thing he says anytime I wear anything that's not quite form fitting. Mm-hmm. Needs a belt. He says that if I wear tunics, anything. And I'm like, it doesn't, but that's not how it's. I don't care. Needs a belt.
She could have borrowed the belt from the next page, the belt that's doing nothing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just a belt on top of leggings, and that belt is not holding anything up.
It's very White Snake, that belt.
It's very the women characters in an RPG armor selection screen.
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
Maybe that's why Jim likes belts so much.
You start off fully clothed, and yet somehow the next level up for your armor is one skimpy piece around your midriff.
Yeah. But the last two are just like a pony print jacket and then a different pony print jacket. It's like, spread those apart, man. Like, who laid out this feature? First of all, who conceived it? Fashion Cat, you're crazy for this one. But also, if you're going to do two very, very similar pony print jackets, like, put them further apart in the spread so that you're not highlighting the fact that, like, oh, we really ran out of ideas. And also, you can call them pony print all you want, but when people see them, they see cow. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the worst one in a while.
I'm not prepared to say this is worse than the one with all the hats, where one of them was just a stack of flowers with one flower sticking straight up in the
Absolutely.
Air.
Absolutely. Yep.
That's still, to me, the worst one we've seen. But this is, it's in the conversation.
Yeah, but this one is bad because obviously the clothes are bad and the choices are bad. And like the creation of the feature as a whole, as something in a magazine, is poorly thought out.
Yeah.
But it's just like, who would ever wear any of this?
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine any girl reading this and thinking, yes, next week I'm going to go to school in my big Bam Bam overalls and really set the world on fire? Like, yeah. Not going to happen. Not going to happen.
Making it. Jacket renovation. On page 22, as I mentioned, I loved a jacket. I loved a blazer. My favorite jacket was a tuxedo jacket that I bought at a thrift store for like $6. I look at this blazer and I say, it's good on its own.
Yeah.
It doesn't need a chiffon skirt. So basically, you're taking a blazer and then you're just sewing a strip of chiffon at the bottom. But it requires so much effort. You need a sewing machine for this.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I didn't even notice that wasn't just somebody wearing a jacket until you started talking. And then I looked at the bottom of
it. Yes.
That is one poorly lit photo for what they're trying to communicate with this. Like, that should be backlit so that you can see the sheerness at the bottom of this jacket. Wow. Yeah. That's not good.
Mm-mm.
No, I was thinking, like, did Brenda or Kelly wear something like this on 90210? But I just think I was just overwhelmed by the sheer number of blazers that they wore on that show. And I was imagining a chiffon bottom.
Yes.
Also, nobody in 1989 was wearing this low rise of jeans.
It's true. This was a what next recently where they're like, hey, just FYI, pants are going to start being lower soon. So this is maybe them trying to like continue selling that idea Groovox style. But yes, you're right. We weren't doing it yet.
Okay, up next we have What Next, which is the Really Roaring 20s on page 25. And it has a little featurette on Josephine Baker, 1920s nightclub sensation, party girl, all around eccentric. I guess that's a way to describe her.
Sure.
Anyway, it's to highlight the style of the 1920s, I guess, with a Charleston style dress. This one is white with silver shoes. This stuck out to me because I wore almost exactly the same dress. I mean, it's a flapper dress, so they all, you know, it's always that layered fringe situation for Halloween in 1992. And I thought I was super cool. I had a cigarette holder that went with it. But then I had too much to drink and I fell down and I ripped it and it was a rental.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So that was not good. I had to pay. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
It was maybe a little too tight, but I really loved it. So I was like, I'm wearing it. I don't care. This was before Spanx. So, you know, I just kind of shoved myself into it and went to the Halloween party and had a couple beers and fell down. But I was very into the whole 1920s, 1930s.
Is this the night you met Jim?
No. Jim didn't go to Halloween parties. Come on, Dave. What would Jim dress up as?
Jim would pop in, see you there, point at you, put a belt on that.
Yeah, he would have. He would have. He would have wanted a belt on it. This is not having to find waste. He is against it.
We Try It this month is all about different dyes.
Just before you start.
Yeah.
The photo on this page.
Mm-hmm.
Never have I seen a model just like dead-eyed staring at the camera. Somebody please put me out of my misery.
Well, Dave, that's because it's not a model. It's Elizabeth.
Oh, it's a staff member?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Poor girl.
Yeah, she looks a little dorky.
Not happy.
No.
She's wearing like plastic.
She's wearing
hair.
A wig of saran wrap, yeah. Essentially. Mm-hmm. You can barely see that there's hair in it. Anyway, so they try a bunch of different things. Elizabeth gets highlights. Christina does vegetable dye. Karen does a single process permanent dye job. And the one that I wanted to talk about was Catherine tries henna. Comes into this assignment with a lot of attitude. Being a natural gal, the idea of dyeing my hair some bimbo shade, offended my sensibilities. That's why I got to try this stuff called henna, which basically adds highlights rather than overall color. Here's what henna actually does. Nothing. She says there are neutral hennas if you want no color at all. And so I was like, okay, then what's the literally what is the point? And so I looked it up and found to find a like before and after of neutral henna. And the before and after, which we'll link in the show notes, looks like absolutely nothing has happened. Like does not even look shinier or healthier or anything. It's just like, this is just two sides of the same head with a line in the middle. Like it is not noticeable at all. So don't buy neutral henna is my advice. It looks like it does not do shit.
I remember neutral henna from the 90s when henna was a thing. Draw of it, I guess, was supposed to be that it would make, it was like a gloss. It was like putting a gloss on your hair.
Yes.
I never used henna because I didn't want any red highlight. Red hair would not go well with my coloring, I don't think. So I never used henna, but it definitely was very sort of that hippie granola 90s sensibility.
Sure. With your patchouli of dye. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And your Ankh necklace. Yeah. I wanted to talk about the final category, which is the temporary color rinse, which is somewhat misleading, I'm going to say, because this is what I put on my hair when I was a junior in college, I had just gotten my hair cut very short, and I wanted my hair to be the same color as Demi Moore in Indecent Proposal, because I thought she looked so beautiful. Very similar to how it looked in Ghost, if you haven't seen Indecent Proposal.
Were you doing that because you were hoping that would spur on an Indecent Proposal, and that would be like kind of a little way to make a little extra walking around money?
The 100%. Indecent Proposal is, I've bought you a belt.
Yeah. This is before I knew my husband. And so it was a beautiful dark brunette. So I remember I got this dark brown, and it was the night of like some dance or something that I certainly wasn't invited to.
Yeah.
So some girlfriends and I decided to like stay home and do our hair. And so I did the semi-permanent color, and then, you know, got distracted. It was supposed to be dark brown. But by the time I went to rinse it out, and probably also because of all the perming aforementioned that I was doing, it turned my hair jet black.
Ooh.
So it really did not look good. I remember the next morning, you know, my friends were very kind and were all like, oh, it looks good. Yeah, I like it. You know, where the voice gets real high pitched. And I remember the next morning I went to brunch in the calf, and my friend Terry was working, and he literally looked at me and just burst out laughing. The only honest reaction I got.
Terry. About face, just one bitchy comment from me on this one. They have a little item at the bottom that's about which are the right earrings to go with your perfect hairstyle. If you're one of the so chic masses who are getting their hair chopped off, you can stop agonizing because you're directly in line for the newest, coolest, longest ever earrings. Philippa here again is modeling them. They'll show off your newly exposed neck and shoulders and really play up that haircut. Will they? Because in the photo, first of all, her hair is long, and we could clearly see she's in what seems to be a turtleneck or possibly just a blouse with like a fancy white restaurant napkin wrapped around her neck. And if the whole point they're trying to say is like, it'll show off your neck, you can't see her neck at all. They're shooting her from like above.
Yeah.
Like what you need is like a shot like the in the top right corner where, you know, if you could actually see if she had earrings on and it was closer. Okay, there's her neck. Let's see how the earrings work with it. But this shot does not do what they claim it's going to be.
Anybody else's grandma when they were growing up had a, like, in super stereotypical fashion, had a bowl of hard candy somewhere, like a humbugs and stuff like that. And they all look like the individual pieces of this earring.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All string together. Like, it looks like it could be like a candy.
Root beer earring. Barrels.
Sure.
Yeah. Beer. Yes. Oh, my God. Root beer barrels.
I'm not bad at the earrings. The earrings are cute. I like a dangly earring. I'm just saying this photo does not show them to their best advantage.
Looks like the cheap shit they would hang off 1970s fancy lamps that had like fake chandelier bottoms on it or whatever for some reason.
Okay, fine,
like,
Dave. I won't buy them. God.
My family had the ugliest lamps, and I'm sure they're like from Sears or something, and everybody had them. But they had these like giant crystals just on like, you know, thin hooks that went into like pieces of the stemware of the lamp. And I just thought it was completely normal throughout, like, you know, when I was a young child. And then one day, like when I was like 9 or 10, it's like, why do we have the world's fucking ugliest lamps? Like, these are just objectively terrible pieces of houseware. They're just so ugly. And like the crystals, you could take one off, throw it at somebody, and really do some damage. And they were just like little fish hooks. And it was the weirdest fucking thing. I got to see if I can find some photos of these things.
Also, if you zoom in on this picture, they're very much clip-ons. Like her, her earlobe is like distended, which also, like my grandma, wore clip-on earrings.
Mm-hmm.
My grandma did too.
Yeah. My grandma didn't have her ears pierced.
The Gibbers' very own perfume. A hard disagree with Christina on this one, who described Debbie Gibson's perfume, Electric Youth. She described it as a light and refreshing combo of Love's Baby Soft and Calyx. No. I remember this scent being so strong. It was like sickeningly sweet, like Fun Dip. It gave me a headache because I remember girls spraying it all over after gym class and just hanging in the locker room, just a candy smog just over the whole locker room. And no,
I can tell you who agrees with you, and that is Fragrantica, which is a perfume review site. The main accords are sweet, way out ahead, followed by fruity, amber, floral, and woody. And if you look up what does it smell like, the answer is Electric Youth smells like powdered fruit candy, fun dip, fizzy fruit soda, and everything else artificially fruity and sweet, all on an ambery base with a hint of wood.
I did not look that up. This is it. This is a new career for me. Oh my God. I have a talent.
Yep.
Lamp update. We'll put it into the visual aids, but if you check out the JPEG I just threw in the chat for you, you'll see in the background of the photo the lamp in question. Unfortunately, that's the biggest part I have, but you can see the crystals dangling off them, all like 8 or 10 of them. World's ugliest lamp.
Let's not pretend that anyone's going to look at the background of that photo when you see what's in the foreground.
Don't ruin it.
Then and now, how to slick up a scruffy dude. The before, grungy skater hottie. The after, date rapist in a Lifetime movie. I'm sorry. No.
He's like the stand-in for Christian Bale in American Psycho.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I don't disagree. It's hard to really tell because he looks tough in his before and it's very small. And then in his after, he just looks like, much as Dave described Elizabeth in the We Try It photo, which is like, just take the picture. Like, he does not look like he likes this. I'm not totally against, I don't think this is a radical change other than how they've dressed him. Like, they gave him, you know, a trench coat and a t-shirt and a jacket. But I probably would have gone with like a bigger houndstooth than this. This is very teeny tiny houndstooth print, whereas a bigger one would have like looked more punky and would have been more in line with like his before vibe. It wouldn't have been as big a departure. But this guy, Jeff, is cute. He's 25. He's got like a Peter, Peter Horton in 30-something vibe.
Yes.
I was thinking he looked like Judd Nelson in St. Elmo's Fire.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's got the flared nostrils like Judd Nelson.
Yeah.
I was thinking he looked like Beastmaster.
In the first picture, yeah.
Oh, Mark Singer.
Yeah. Sure. I can see Mark Singer, sure. Yeah.
I also think in the first picture, he might be wearing a Survivor buff. And considering Survivor didn't start airing for like a decade and a half almost later, that's pretty cool.
I'm worried he doesn't know how to use a skateboard. Because
why isn't this moving?
You don't stand on the wheels, dude. Let's see if we finally get this segment into the finished episode. We are talking for the third or fourth time about Zits and Stuff. Now, Zits and Stuff has been in at least the last 3 issues of the magazine.
Yes.
Before October 1989. Mm-hmm. All of those were accompanied by a full page Oxy or an Oxyma ad, and this one does not have a Zit Remedy ad near it. So I am curious, and I don't want to be spoiled. We'll just find out next month. It'd be an exciting thing. Tune in one or two months from now when we get back to the fashion of November and we discover if Zits and Stuff is still with us. But I feel like maybe the sponsor dropped out and they still had the content, and maybe because this just seems like advertising driven editorial, right? And they can make a sale on it, and that's what they did.
I'm sure that was part of it, but I think it's mostly like we need to spin off all the beauty questions into their own thing because people are writing in to help about them, and we want help to be for like real serious problems,
emotional issues.
Yes.
Right, but the fact that it is Zits and Stuff,
yes,
tells me that it was, they had Procter and Gamble on the phone as the Oxy 5 department.
Yes,
was like, yes, we will buy that. We'll see.
We will. Our second question is, I use eye drops in the morning to get the red out, in quotes. I was wondering if they could be harmful, signed wondering. First of all, dubious about who actually sent this in. Second, in the morning? Yikes, wondering. If you were saying that, where it's like, I use them after school before I see my parents.
Yeah. That's when everyone I know used eye drops.
Exactly. We all know what people buy eye drops for. No, if you are waking and baking in high school, to make some tough calls about what your choices are these days.
I kind of halfway through that conversation realized what you guys were talking about.
Oh, Dave. Sweet, sweet Dave.
Yeah. No girl is like, boy, I just wish I could get the whites of my eyes whiter before I go to school. Like perfectly white. And if she is, she's got other issues.
I want to cut down on how much makeup I wear.
But Dave, you look great.
How can I make a gradual, unnoticeable decrease? Signed, Stephanie. Well, here's what you do, Stephanie. You tell all your friends you got into a car accident. And then 2 months later, you appear, all the bandages are off, and you just have no makeup anymore. Problem solved.
Yeah, you nailed it. All of this, like their description of the less makeup you should wear is like, this is the most makeup I ever wear, which is rare.
Same.
But then I remembered back to, you know, this time in history, and there were some intense makeup stories happening in the late 80s. There's a lot of regretful nods in the chat. We know. I had frosty blue eyeshadow. I did that at the time with my perm.
Blue mascara.
Yes, blue mascara.
I had blue mascara.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Next letter is bleeding eyebrows. When I pluck my eyebrows, they bleed. Hmm. I've tried to shave them, but either they grow back too fast or I mess up. What can I do to make them look nice and distinct? Anna. Okay. Number one. I rarely pluck my eyebrows. I don't have a lot of need to, really, other than shaping. They've never bled. Like, what is happening? They're bleeding. What
Pinching skin while plucking? Like, that's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, if you really squeezed it. But so I was reading the how they tell you to do it. And it's like, put a hot cloth over it, clean your tweezers, pluck from below the brow, hold the skin. I'm like, oh, my God. Thank God nowadays we have YouTube tutorials and TikTok videos to show us how to do this stuff.
Yes.
I would never have been able to figure this out. I don't have the coordination. Like, I didn't pluck my eyebrows in 1989, so it didn't matter. But my goodness.
I have a theory.
Yeah.
Yes.
Epilady. They're using an Epilady on their eyebrows.
Ouch.
Epilady Mini.
I'm sure that's one of the products that at like EpiHQ they were coming up with because after the success of that, they just were trying a bunch of stuff. We've talked about it before where it's like Epi Spa, where it's like the steamer and, you know, Epi Brush for some reason.
Yeah. And finally, from Noelle, she asks, I have a space between my two front teeth that I'm not too proud of. Is there any lipstick shade that would make it less obvious? Today in misinterpretations of the question, I'm like, why would you want to put lipstick on your teeth and how would that help? Is there white lipstick that would somehow you could use a spackle to fill it in? Answer no. Apparently there isn't. And the answer is also no. There is no lipstick you could actually put on that would not draw attention to your lips and therefore your teeth. I don't know what she was expecting, but that is the answer. Sassy ads, sassy ads.
Let's talk about ads. Right on the inside cover, we get a big two-page spread. Who do you think you are? Hair-wise, it's all about hair color. It's not really about who you think you are. But I did love ads like this where it was like, decide which one of these girls you want to be. And then there's a little story for each one. Are you a light effects? Are you a summer blonde? Are you going to do hair painting? Are you going to do frost and tip? Don't do frost and tip. Yeah, this it was just cute. You don't really see ads with this much copy ever, if you even can get it in magazine.
But also it's got helpful little photo cutouts in all the copy, which is something that was happening at the time. This is a trend that we'll see more in advertising. It gets to the point where they actually like put it in the is actually kind of a precursor to emojis in a way.
It is.
The way they use it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are you a high heel girl? Are you a tennis racket girl? Are you an artist palette girl? Or are you a tickets and fancy cloth napkin dinner girl? Which one are you? Decide!
Well, I could decide. I totally remember this ad. I'm pretty sure I tried light effects and hair painting.
Yep.
Wouldn't be surprised if I also tried summer blonde, although I may have learned my lesson from Sunin.
Right.
In my memory, they did nothing. Whenever it says subtle highlights, that means you won't be able to notice them.
Yep.
I definitely did not look like the girl in the picture in either case, but I couldn't decide which kind I was. I'm every woman, like Oprah. And so I tried them all.
Mm-hmm.
I really did a lot of hair experimentation with color back in the day. Now I'm not quite so daring. But
moving on page 11, we have an ad for Switch.
Yeah, the psychos at Switch USA are back.
A brand that has not stood the test of time. I love this ad. I love this ad so much. Classic, timeless denim jacket, mm-hmm. the likes of which that is in my closet right now that I've had for 25 years. Dress it up, dress it down, mm-hmm. classic piece.
Yep.
Over a black acid washed gold faux brocade trim jacket shirt?
Yeah.
Jacket?
Uh-huh.
Shirt?
Yep.
With a ruffled high waist, high ruffled skirt. I mean, this thing was already out of style by the time this ad appeared.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
The straw Napoleon hat really sets off the whole look. This is so late 80s. If somebody were making a movie or they were doing like a flashback scene to like the 80s, like they're like, this is what they put the girls in, you know? Like,
yeah.
Wait, it's 1980s or like 17 or 1680s? And she is one of the successful female pirates on the high seas.
She's a toreador.
Boarding other ships to claim their denim booty. Because that's what this looks like to me.
Yeah.
Yar. Yar.
The model is gorgeous. I mean, she's gorgeous. And she can't even pull off this this outfit.
No,
this is terrible. But it made me laugh when I flip it through. I said to Tara, what the hell is up with this jeans pirate ad? Holy cow, this is great.
Just a brief note about our ad on page 17, which is for Oneida. We don't need to go into it because we already talked about how weird this ad is. I just want to note, it's the same ad from last month. It's just they flipped it 180 degrees. the other one, the puppy's head was facing to the right. This one, it's facing to the left.
Fascinating. Mm-hmm. On page 23, we have an ad with possibly the worst brand name in the magazine. Fatigues.
Yeah.
Yes, you heard that correctly. Fatigues. Their logo is the word fatigues in army stencil inside of a dog tag.
Yes.
And the photo here, I'll try to describe it if you're not looking at the visual aids. I believe that there is a couple on the beach. There is a man sort of in mid-crawl. His two hands are on the sand and he is sort of propping his front half up. And then there is a woman sort of behind him, cradling his head, about to do the badass neck snap from every action movie.
Yeah.
Somehow, you know, it's just easy to snap necks. You just like, boop, and then they're dead. That's about to happen. Mm-hmm. About 3 seconds after this photo was taken, she snapped his head, and now he is dead. Like, this is an outtake from La Femme Nikita or something like that of the era. And it just really made me laugh because it's not sexy.
No.
It's not exactly foreboding. So it's like in this weird middle ground where you just have to make up the dumbest story you can for it, which totally fits in with the fact that this brand is called Fatigues, even though there's nothing about the fashions they're wearing that seem to, you know, be army related or military related. So I have no idea what's going on with this brand.
I feel I need to say for the listeners who might not be looking at the visual aids, though Dave is really hammering that first syllable. It's Fatigues, F-I-T. It's not Fatigues. It's so dumb. And I don't understand where, like, whose leg is this that we can see? I don't know if it's his somehow or hers. Like, he looks like he might be buried to the waist in the sand.
Might be driftwood.
It might be driftwood. And she also looks like she's wandered over from the ad for, like, Sebastian molding mug based on her hair.
What's happened is 2 minutes before this photo was taken, there was a big chase scene.
Yeah.
And, like, she was always going to catch her prey. body got away, but in doing so, he accelerated too fast and there was a big car crash and he got thrown out of the car near the beach. And for 2 minutes, he crawled towards the ocean to try to escape. And then she's just slowly walking down the steps from the promenade to the beach. And then she slowly catches up with him,
yep.
Gingerly kneels down next to him and then snaps his neck. And that's the story of Fit Teagues.
Mm-hmm. Why is it at night? And also, why the red filter?
I can give you the answer to your question, Kim. Yes. Obviously, the woman is a bounty hunter. She is a mercenary, and they have to provide proof of capture and kill. So she is an accomplice on the ocean in a boat with a long
night vision.
Yeah, long range lens with night vision in order to capture the moment of death. And that's what this photo is.
And that's who took this picture.
Yeah.
Okay. Satisfied.
The photo photographer's name is Gladys. It's weird. It's her mom.
From pages 29 through 30, we have an ad for Sassy. It's an ad for Sassy that is targeted at potential Sassy advertisers. Don't put your ads in all of these other teen magazines that are completely copying Sassy. We are the original. We are, you know, the more influential one. This is where you want your ads to be because we're the cool one that all the others are knocking off. And we know from, because we talked about it recently, that like, you know, this time last year, they had that whole page that was like all the angry letters from people's furious parents about how dirty Sassy was and stuff and how they lost advertisers as a consequence. And so I get why they're doing this. Some of the examples of what they're choosing to say is is copying is like tenuous. One of them is when they had very as a Sassy glossary definition. And then a few months later in 17, and I recognize this page because I had this issue, that they used it in a fashion spread. And it's like, okay, but you didn't make up very. You got it from Heather's. And so did 17. Like, this was just a term in the culture. However, they did point out that teen copied the Sassy glossary and they had a definition for dag that was wrong. YM had like a nightlife page and there's a shot of Jane, which is very sloppy. Someone at YM should have got fired for that, frankly.
Wearing a Sassy t-shirt.
Yeah. But the most salient one that they point out is in an entertainment poll published in the August 89 issue of 17, their magazine proudly touted a reader response of 8,400 out of their circulation of almost 2 million. In the same issue of Sassy, there was a reader's poll where they got 40,000 responses out of only 500,000 readers. So it's like, this is making good points to advertisers. Like, this is the engaged audience of like influencers that you will want your ads to be in front of. And so Kim was like, I can't wait to hear it's had in our doc. She couldn't wait to hear my take on this. They're right, but is this the place for it? This is something magazines still do, where it's like there's a special spread that is meant to target advertisers. I also don't understand how this can possibly be cost effective. Like, potentially lots of people, but it's like you can just send this to them. You don't have to devote three whole pages of your issue to doing this, but it must work because magazines do it. So I don't know. Will it work in the coming pages? I guess we'll see in future issues how many new advertisers they manage to get. Stand by.
Yeah, it just felt very weird to me to put it in the magazine. It didn't feel weird to me that they were pointing this out to advertisers because, sure, that's probably what their salespeople should be doing. I don't know. I mean, maybe when I was Sassy reader age, I would have been like, yeah, how dare they? Yeah. Stupid YM.
You're part of the cool club now. Your older sister is still reading 17.
What a loser.
Fuck her.
As an adult, I'm just like, oh, it just seems kind of like beneath them or should be beneath them. It seems real petty to point all this stuff out publicly.
But I think
this,
like, that is very Sassy though.
Yeah, true.
And they are punching up. Like, these magazines are much bigger than Sassy.
Yeah. They're the underdog, so exactly. So they're punching up. So, and I think it's very much in the Sassy spirit to do this.
Yeah.
Finally, on page 83, we have an ad for a show that's already been mentioned in a previous What Now? Living Dolls, the Who's the Boss spinoff revolving around the the character of Charlie Briscoe, played by Leah Remini, briefly on Who's the Boss so that they could make this spinoff. And the other stars from right. We have Leah furthest right, then Amy Elliott next to her, Halle Berry next to her, and someone named Deborah Tucker next to Halle. She was the only one who went on to nothing. But what's the funniest about this ad is how they all are like bending their knees except for Leah. So it's like they're trying to conceal the fact that she is actually the shortest of all of them. Like none of these girls is tall enough to be a runway model, which is the premise of the show. And it was always kind of preposterous. And this ad is trying to conceal it. And it really doesn't do a great job.
Yeah. My first thought when I looked at this ad was, there's no way Leah Remini's taller than the rest of these girls. I didn't even notice how much they were bending. I mean, Halle Berry's basically doing a full squat.
She is. She's curtsying in this. This month's diary subject is desk styles of the sassy staff. Jane says, Neil's wall was too X-rated to show here. He claims all those topless pics are art. Okay. If that was a joke, why was that a joke that was made in a magazine for teen girls that is constantly trying to make its readers have crushes on Neil? And if it was not a joke, take down your topless shots, Neil. You're in an office. What the fuck is wrong with you? Then there's a description of Catherine's desk and as being completely covered in shit, and you would think, oh, she's exaggerating. Then you see the photo and it stresses me out so much. You can barely tell this is a desk. It is absolutely covered every single possible surface. Like, how do you do anything? I know people live like this. I don't get it. It's very stressful to me.
I'm messy. I'm not that messy. Like, that's bad.
There's a mention of the office getting robbed. They took Walkman's tape decks. And sadly, Mike's Martin Downey Jr. Sings tape was not stolen. And I was like, okay, they're making a joke. No, that was real. You can still buy this album. It's way, way marked up on Amazon because someone is selling it secondhand. But I did find two YouTube clips of Martin Downey Jr. singing Are the Good Times All Over on The Pat Sajak Show. There's a time capsule for you. Or Hey There, Mr. Dealer on Arsenio. So hit up the show notes to enjoy both of those performances from the late MD Jr.
The diary starts off with Christina has her wall, oh boys, with portraits of the Riv, Ziggy, Johnny, and other quintessentials. As I think, Tara and Dave, you know, Kim, you probably don't know this, but I was a sassy intern for 3 weeks in the fall of 1994. So I was there the day that everybody lost their jobs. We will definitely talk more about that if we get to the infamous last Celeb produce issue that never came out. One of the few things I remember, besides transcribing an interview with a very, very mumbly Michael Stipe, were that there were shrines to hot boys all around the sassy office, and the offices were incredibly cramped, dark, and cave-like, as described. And I think seeing this in person absolutely influenced me to create my own wall of worship portrait gallery when I got hired at YM in the fall of 1995. And I had all my faves, River Phoenix featured very prominently. We were all encouraged at YM to celebrate our celebrity crushes. And I shared a picture of my actual desk in the dock.
Yeah.
And it really captures where I was in the fall of 1995.
I mean, the taste I'm seeing, obviously River Phoenix, but also John Cusack. There's a Tori Amos here. There's a Toni Collette. There's a Bjork. This is very sophisticated for fall 95. Well done.
Liz Phair.
Now, Liz Phair, yeah.
To the left of River, not the guitar player, but there's a man with an open denim jacket and chest hair.
Yeah.
That's a man named Frank Trevino. He entered our Young and Modern Man contest. He did not win, but I, to this day, have that man's picture on the wall of my home office.
Fantastic.
He has followed me at every stage of my career. And Frank, baby, wherever you are, you're my muse. Thanks for the inspiration.
Incredible. Everyone can and must look at this photo that Megan has so generously shared in the visual aid. time. Because we are pre-taping so many episodes right now due to Pam's travel, she will be back, and the holidays, we're going to skip the October 1989 slumber party just for now and then have a super-sized double-length October / November 1989 slumber party episode.
Slumber and Coke party.
That's right. For now, Kim and Megan will return for our new episode all about the teen life topics of the November 1989 issues. What to do if you get dumped? The 10 sassiest colleges in America. The winners of the first and I believe last, and you will see why, photography contest and more. For my plug this week, the Interview with the Vampire movie came out right before Sassy expired, then came back in a similar but fundamentally fucked up form, ha ha, much like vampires themselves. This year, AMC made a TV adaptation of the book. I interviewed Sam Reed, who plays Lestat, for VanityFair.com, and we will link that in the show notes. You can also call us. Our hotline is 720-SASSY-GO. Leave us a voicemail about the show or the magazine. We may play it in a future Slumber Party episode. And you can find more information about our podcast, visual aids for all episodes, and contact info for all of us at listentosassy.com. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.
This is Kim. I don't really have anything to plug except that the greatest thing that I have had to eat in the past, I'm going to say 6 to 9 months, is something called the Big Witch, which they sell at Burn Dairy, which if you don't live in Central New York, sorry, but it is a cookie ice cream sandwich. But wait, I know you've heard of those, except it's a Big Witch. So it has like double the ice cream of a normal cookie ice cream sandwich. Also, they do some sort of wizardry and the cookies stay like soft, but not too soft. Like, you know how the problem with an ice cream sandwich is you hold it and it all gets all over your hands. But these cookies stay like intact, but not hard or crunchy. They're still soft. And also, they have a variety of flavors. They have the classic vanilla. They have a vanilla and chocolate twist ice cream with a regular chocolate chip cookie. They have a mint ice cream, which I don't subscribe to because mint is for toothpaste and mouthwash. And they have a raspberry ice cream with chocolate chip cookies. I'm not a fan of chocolate chip cookies. I wish they had the just plain chocolate chip cookies, but I had one the other day and it was real good. So if you live near a Burn Dairy or anywhere that sells Burn Dairy products, I highly recommend the Burn Dairy Big Witch. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Kim. Megan.
Sorry, Megan. We have no more time.
I can't compete with that. Go out, Google me, buy my books.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.